and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolumnmusic.com, where you can download PDFs of some of the best new arrangements and compositions for solo, ensemble, and chamber harp. Is adding new repertoire on your 2016 to-do list? Dive into one of the crowd-pleasing classical solos in the Solos for the New Year section at www.harpcolumnmusic.com. On this, our third episode, we speak to harpist Megan Matheny, author of Improv for One and All in the current Harp Column issue, about teaching, improvisation, and her composition/teaching tool, Green Harp. To get started, I'll have Megan introduce herself.
My name is Megan Matheny. I'm a harpist based in France near Nice. I'm mostly a full-time mom, but I teach harp and perform regularly around this area.
Improvising can be scary if you aren't accustomed to doing it. When did you first begin experimenting with improvisation?
I am classically trained, but I did study with Carol McLaughlin for my undergrad at the U of A, Arizona. And she plays a lot of jazz music as well, so I was exposed to her teaching of jazz and improvisation there.
Did she teach improvisation in your lessons?
She did. Specifically, she would help us read chord symbols and be able to arrange on the spot.
How would you suggest an adult harpist, a classically trained harpist, begin the process of improvisation?
Well, it doesn't have to be this really complicated thing. And you could even be something that you start your practice time with, just as you would do scales and exercises for your fingers. It could be a time of creativity and you're kind of working out your creative juices there. And it could happen at the same time. It could be exercises that are improvised. You know, you could create a melody that you play continuously to work out dexterity and strength. But I encourage spontaneous melodies. It's something that could happen easily, for example, in Pachelbel's Canon. You know, you've got these chords that happen over and over and over again. You could take those chords and that could stay in your left hand, but create a new melody in your right hand at the same time. Or you could have a friend or a teacher play those chords over and over and over again while you figure out a melody that you might like or change as you go. I don't know. I feel like it's something that doesn't have to be complicated, but it does need to be happening regularly, like as part of your regular practice. It could be something like figuring out an accompaniment on the spot, like my teacher taught me to do. If you have chord symbols, to figure out an accompaniment that was different than the day before to a song that you like, so that you'd have the melody that you know already, and then you can play easily, but then the left hand would be improvising the accompaniment. That could be an easy exercise to apply.
Do you have much of a composing background at all?
Not really. Lately, this past year, I've really devoted more time to composition, and I even just recorded an album of composed songs for harp and voice and percussion. None of it is written down because, you know, I love this idea of, you know, the skeleton of a piece, but then it's kind of different every time. And so I don't know if I could really even call it composition because it's not black and white, but I love this idea of creating and allowing it to change.
Is that CD available?
It is. It's called Les Audides. So L-E-S and A-U-D-I-D-E-S.
So you had frameworks for every piece and then everybody kind of improvised as you went. Were there many rehearsals leading up to the recordings?
There were many rehearsals and every day it was different. Every time we rehearsed, it was different. And so we had an idea of what we liked and what we wanted to do, but we also just wanted to let whatever happened that day happen.
You're listening to Harp Column Podcast number 3. You can read more harp news, opinions, and feature stories and subscribe to the print magazine online at www.harpcolumn.com. Today, we're talking to Megan Matheny about improvisation. Megan's piece, Green Harp, is available to the Harp Column subscribers through the Harp Column website. or on Megan's personal website, www.greenharp.com. Partly composed and partly improvised, Green Harp offers an alternative approach to teaching improvisation to students of all ages.
You use this even with your beginners, correct?
Yes, for sure.
I actually have a lesson with an 8-year-old student tomorrow, and I'm gonna bring it in and use it with her. My student is definitely a beginner, and I hadn't really done much of the by rote training with her until now. We're going to do this tomorrow. I'm very excited. Do you have any advice for me?
Well, it's going to be fun. Teaching by rote, you know, as a classically trained musician, it's almost like people gasp at the idea of teaching by rote. So, you know, there's nothing on paper. How can we keep track of what's happening? But just to take things, yeah, the bullet points that I laid out in the article one at a time to really make sure that they've got the bullet point before you go on, you know, or else they're just going to drown in this melody. So I actually have dice that I have them roll. So I have 2 or 3 dice and they roll. Maybe they have to do what that chunk of work 12 times or 15 times. And then we move on to the next thing. So not to rush, take your time. And it could be something that happens over the course of several lessons if they don't absorb it right away.
With this student in particular, she has no musical background. She doesn't read. And I've been seeing her on and off for about 6 months now. And it's been very challenging because I've been trying to put music in front of her. I'm trying to reevaluate. After reading your article, I was so excited about trying this. And this is the first time I've seen her since the article came out. But yeah. I'm excited about the potential for something new and exciting in this student's life.
Gosh, I hope so. And I hope that, you know, as teachers, we can really watch the students. I mentioned in the article, their demeanor change as they're creating their own sound and they become so proud of what they're doing and really taking pleasure in, yeah, the sound that they're creating there on the spot. It's really fun.
For sure. I love that the piece that you wrote, it's more than just a piece, really. It's something that a student can grow with and can really, you know, make something more of as they advance.
And even if you have 2 students, you know, or even an overlap of lessons, totally different skill levels. Hey, and if you got 3 harps, if you happen to have 3 harps in the room, hey, let's all sit down and play Green Harp because they can play it together. You know, there's things that the beginner can definitely play, and then the more advanced harpist will play what they can, and it's automatically this really fun ensemble piece that we can all play together, you know?
How long did this brew inside of you before it was something that you were ready to put out and use?
Years. It just changed shape a lot until actually when I was in Odessa teaching in the public schools there, I really started using it with my students, and then it really took the form of the A and the B, and I needed it to be a little bit more concrete so that I can teach it and it would be the same every day. So that's when it really started to solidify.
How many students did you have?
Over 50 at a time.
I've been watching the videos online and the Harp Garage video. That's amazing. Tell me a little bit about that project. How did that come about?
Well, it goes straight into this idea of improvisation. We would use part of our class time. I would see these kids every day. Part of our class time would be improvisation. And this one class, they loved this time. And we had an idea of a little bit of a melody or a bass line, I guess it was, that kind of just took off. And so we kept adding to it, and it formed this piece that we would play regularly. It was part improv and part composition, and we loved it so much that we wanted to make a music video. So that's where the Harp Garage video came.
I think it's really cool. I mean, you don't get to see high school kids doing things like that very often. They seemed very free in the video also, like they felt so comfortable with what they were doing. Yes. You obviously provided it. A very supportive environment for them.
Thank you. I hope, yeah, it was mutual. They allowed me to be myself, and yeah, I hope that I had set up a place where they felt comfortable being themselves too. So
I know that a lot of what you've done in your career is teaching. Do you have beliefs around teaching that you try to stick to, or a teaching philosophy?
I don't have a specific philosophy or pedagogy. It's a combination of a lot of things. I studied music education as a minor, And that helped a lot, just to get a general idea of how to approach, you know, this transformation of teaching a student how to play an instrument. And I also went through different types of training, Suzuki training, and that also really gave me another perspective on how to approach, especially working with young children. So I would say that my philosophy or approach is a mix of a lot of things. But in general, I always try to give a student, with whether it be that minute that we're working together or that season or that year, something that applies to them directly, a piece that they really like, something that they can definitely achieve. It goes back to the bullet points in the article. You want to give them something that you're sure that they can master and that they can do well. And so I always try to keep that in mind as I'm working with the student, even if we're doing a small task during a lesson, that I want to make sure that I know that they can master this. And I know that they can do it, even if it's a little bit tricky, and I might take time to give them a piece or a task or an exercise that I know that they can master and enjoy.
Okay, so one more question. You have made the decision to put Green Harp out there for free for anybody to use. Was there a reason behind that? Because you could have put it up on your website and charged for it.
I could have, but you know, I really just wanted to share this piece that I love so much, and I hope that other people can enjoy it as well. And I am really excited to see how it might transform even more and evolve into something else. Or I would love to see videos of this piece being played and a new idea pop up, and just to see how it continues to be green and change.
Megan, where can people find you out in the world?
My website is greenharp.com, and I also have a Facebook page, which is my name, Megan Matheny, and on Twitter, I'm Greenharp.
That's it for our third episode. Many thanks to Megan Matheny for speaking with us. Today's music came from Megan's most recent CD, Les Audides, available through iTunes and Amazon Music. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as lots of great web content. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope you have a spectacular week.